under his dominion. Thou hast made him to have dominion. Psalm 8, verse 6. Nowhere in Scripture is there more evidence of the fact that the messianic hope does not stand outside of life, even our natural and common human life, than in Psalm 8. Oh, certainly, if you just read this song by itself, it does not speak of the Messiah in the first place, but of man in general. It is man who sees himself here amidst the majesty of nature, and standing in a world of creation miracles, is astonished about the majesty of God and the insignificance of himself. He is amazed about the remarkable fact that this great God can be bothered about such an insignificant being and remember him. Man disappears as a dwarf between the mighty objects of the created world. He is less than a speck of dust in the universe. And yet, God remembers him. God makes man so great by his consideration that he subjected all things under the feet of that man. That is a jubilation of victory. Yet all jubilation is accountable to common sense. Are all things subjected to mankind? Subjected? Behold, everything you see around you and the whole world seems to mock that word. Subjection? It does not look like it. Animals fight with man and beat him. Man cannot detach himself from his small, little world. He fights with the elements and forces of nature. But all his premature songs of victory are dashed and mocked by life. And then came, after many centuries, when the world had sung this song and exhausted itself in discoveries of wisdom and art, when Greece and Rome had created for themselves the thriving culture of which the author of this psalm could not have dreamt, when after many centuries the author of the letter to the Hebrews came to the jubilating, world-dominating man, then came, I say, the glory of Psalm 8 and asked, "What now is true of these words? Take the world as you see it daily before you, and you notice nothing of that dominion." Has the psalm shouted too early for joy? Will it remain a mockery to the last day? No, it will not, said the author of Hebrews 2. For Psalm 8 speaks the truth, yet that truth is in the end only seen and known in the Messiah, the Christ. Whatever does not apply to man in his present misery applies to the Son of Man in his future dominating strength. Whatever cannot be said of humanity, as it was destroyed and separated by the sin of the first Adam, can be believed of humanity as it indeed comes together again in the second Adam. We see Jesus, crowned with honor and glory. Hebrews 2. Jesus. And now that he has become the King, man, glorious and having dominion, this psalm is indeed true. Christ indeed does not have his dominion on his own, or for himself alone, but has his glory for and with those whom he gathers to himself by his actual humanity, by which he intensifies in himself to his victorious glory those who are included in him. Thus, there is but one apology for the song of man praising his own glory, the song that people sing so gladly for themselves, Christ. And also when our time so gladly sings songs to glorify man, then it is only possible for him to continue and complete that in Christ. Christ is not inhuman, a denial of what is truly human, but a real and actual human being, Son of Man. And all the dreams of man about man, of dominion, of kingship over all things, can only be realized in him. Do you want to be a man? Be a Christian. Do you want to sing Psalm 8, the song of man's greatness as King of the universe? Kneel down before him who came in the form of a servant. For only there the dominion of man, concerning everything, is possible, because there also is fulfilled the other part of that psalm, that man has become a little less than angels. For according to Hebrews 2, that was only perfectly seen in the humiliation of the Son of Man. And only he who sees his justification in Christ, only that man can stand up and go to his brother and say, "Everything belongs to us, yet we belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." Conversion is saying yes to God and receiving a yes also from nature.